Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the mighty Yah. Yah is righteous, Yah is holy, and let Yahweh be magnified. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Welcome to another beautiful broadcast of Nothing But the Truth. I am Moray Ishia Yisrael at the House of Israel, located at 1907 Vine Street, right here in Cincinnati, Ohio, here to bring you nothing but the truth. And we'd like to say shalom to everyone that is tuned in from our listening and viewing audience, for we know that the only reason you have tuned in is because of your great fear and love towards the mighty Yah. And who is this Yah? Yahweh is the creator of the heaven, earth, and sea, and all that in them is. Yahweh is the only judge, the only lawgiver, the only king, the only redeemer, and the only savior of Israel in the world. Yahweh is the Elohim of Abraham, Isaac, and Yaakov. And Yahweh is the one that has ordained us to bring you his word. His words are truth. And so that's what we will do. And today, or tonight rather, I'm going to be dealing with one of the topics that we covered in our conference that we just had a week ago, the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference that we had held in Charleston, South Carolina last week from November the 28th to December the 1st. There at that conference, that monumental event, the word of Yahweh was revealed to all that tuned in, and it was magnified to all that could understand. And we dealt with four different questions, and they were dealing with, number one, what are the signs that let us know that Yah will return to his people soon? And what are the signs, specific signs, that let us know what will happen during Jacob's trouble? And what are the signs of the righteous in the time of trouble? And what, or do we need money in the time of trouble? And I was able to bring forth what Yahweh showed me about the signs that show us that Yah is returning to his people soon. And of course, because the conference is a big event, we have many speakers, our time is a little limited. So therefore, I was not able to bring out all the things that would prove that Yah would return to our people soon. So I was only able to deal with, as they say, the greatest hits. But nevertheless, today I will be able to show you in depth about Yahweh's 10th generation. And what is generation according to the Holy Scriptures? And why do we even need to understand a generation? And why do we even need to know a generation? Well, because Yahweh uses this word, generation. And when you see it, you'll see some types of generations. But there is a generation that has a time measurement. But in the book of Genesis, the 5th chapter, in the first verse, it reads, "This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that Elohim created man, in the likeness of Elohim made he him. Male and female made he them. And he blessed them. And called their name Adam in the day when they were created." So these are the generations of Adam, meaning these are the people that came after Adam. And of course, the first generation after Adam was Seth. And the second generation after Adam was Enos, which is in the 9th verse. And Enos lived 90 years and begot Canaan, which was the 3rd generation after Adam. And Enos lived after he begot Canaan 815 years and begot sons and daughters. So you see that it's not just all of the children that came after Adam. It's the ones that Yah chose. Most likely the firstborn son, or the one that Yah chose to have the inheritance of his father's house. And in verse 11 it says, "In all the days of Enos were 905 years, and he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalaleel. And Canaan lived after he begot Mahalaleel 800 years and 40, and begot sons and daughters." Which means what? Mahalaleel was the fourth generation after Adam. Also, Mahalaleel means praises of Elohim. Verse 14, "In all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalaleel lived 65 years and begot Yared, the fifth generation." And then if you look in verse 18, it says, "And Yared lived 162 years and begot Enoch, the sixth generation. And he was very blessed." But Enoch, in verse 21, begot Methuselah, the seventh generation. And he was holy, because nobody lived as long as Methuselah. But in the 25th verse, "And Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech, the eighth generation." And Methuselah lived after he begot Lamech 782 years and begot sons and daughters. "And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begot a son, and called his name Noah, saying, This same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil of our hands because of the ground which Yahweh hath cursed." So what happened with Lamech? Who was the eighth generation? Eight being in the order of one, which means that he shed some light. He brought the word of the Creator. And as you can see, Lamech spoke of his son Noah and what Yahweh would do in his time. In verse 30, "Lamech lived after he begot Noah 595 years and begot sons and daughters." And Noah was the ninth generation after Adam. In 9 being in the order of 2, Noah did come in the name of Yah and represented the second day, which was when the waters were separated from waters, but in Noah's time, they came back together again because Yahweh opened up heaven and let the floods come up. But who came after Noah? In verse 31, "And all the days of Lamech was 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begot Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And this is the order that Yahweh gave for the generation. Who was given the order of the firstborn who would receive this blessing? And it was Shem. He mentioned him first, which means he was the 10th generation. You'll even see how Yahweh chose Shem in the book of Genesis, the 9th chapter, verse 25. Or verse 24, "And Noah awoke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, Cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall be unto his brethren. And he said, Blessed be Yahweh Elohim of Shem, and Canaan shall be his servant. So who did he attach himself to? Yahweh attached himself to Shem. He said, blessed is Yah Elohim of Shem. No other one of Noah's sons received that title, received that accolade, because this is who Yah chose to carry on with his name and with his spirit. And he belonged unto Yah because he was the 10th generation. But that's a generation when you have a father to a son. Yet there's a generation that actually has a measurement of time. And what is this generation? Well, if you look in the book of Numbers, the 32nd chapter, you'll see. And in Numbers chapter 32, we'll start at the 10th verse. And Yahweh's anger was kindled the same time, and he sware. And he sware, saying, surely none of the men that came up out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward shall see the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Yehoshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed Yahweh. And Yahweh's anger was kindled against Israel, and he made them wander in the wilderness 40 years until all that generation that had done evil in the sight of Yahweh was consumed. 40 years gave him the time for the generation. Even in the book of Psalms, the 95th chapter, and in Psalms 95, verse 10 says, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation, and said, it is a people that do err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. 40 years he had them in the wilderness, so the whole generation can pass. Even look in Job, chapter 42. In Job 42, verse 16 reads, after this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even four generations. And if you look at 140 years, 140 set of 40 years is a generation, but 80 years is two generations, and 120 years is three generations, and 160 years would be four whole generations, but Job was able to even see four generations, because within that time of 140 years, he would have seen even the fourth generation of himself. And this is how Yahweh even measured a generation of years, which was 40. And why 40 years does Yahweh choose for a generation of people? Why that time? because this is a time of judgment. And this is what the generation is measured for, their judgment. Even look in the book of Judges. You'll see that Yahweh even let judges rule for 40 years for judgment, because that's what they were to do, judge the people. In the book of Judges, the third chapter, we'll start reading in verse 7. It states here, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of Yah, and forgot Yahweh their Elohim, and served the false deity and the groves. Therefore the anger of Yahweh was hot against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the children of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. And when the children of Israel cried unto Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer to the children of Israel, who delivered them, even Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother. And the spirit of Yahweh came upon him, and he judged Israel and went out to war, and Yahweh delivered in his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. And the land had rest 40 years, and Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." 40 years that Othniel, a judge in the spirit of Yahweh, gave the land peace, because he judged 40 years, because that is the measurement of judgment. And that's the measurement of the generation for its judgment. That's why the nation of Israel wandered in the wilderness 40 years. And their judgment was set that they will die in the wilderness. And this is how Yahweh measures. And this is how Yahweh orders his ways. See, we don't have to go off of what the heathen have taught us, a generation X. When I was a young man, really when I was a kid, they said I was part of generation X. Then when I got a little older, they said I was part of generation Y. And now all of a sudden, I'm nearly 40 years old, and I'm part of the millennial generation. I don't even understand the heathen's calculation. That's not how Yahweh does it. Then they call the people that came out of World War II the greatest generation. And the people that had children from World War II, the baby boomer generation. Yahweh don't speak of this at all. Yahweh speaks of judgment. Therefore, you see that judgment upon a generation. And also, Yahweh chose Shem, the 10th generation, to belong, so Shem would belong to Yah. And these two things are very important. Again, when it comes to the 10th, if you go to the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter, because you want to know the signs that Yah is returning to his people. But how are you going to know the signs if you don't know what Yahweh use for signs? And what does Yahweh use for signs? Just hold this, and we'll go to the book of Genesis, the first chapter, the 14th verse. And in Genesis chapter 1, verse 14, it reads, "And Elohim said, let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And Elohim made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. Elohim set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And Elohim saw that it was good. In the evening and the morning were the fourth day." And so these lights Yahweh created were for signs, for seasons, days, and years. And these lights were over the day and over the night. And the lights that rule over the day, the sun, is what Yahweh used to even let you know it is a day. And Yahweh wants you to number your days and order your days and know your days, because even in the days, Yahweh has ordered and created everything, and they have an order to them. So if it's the first day, it has an order to it. It has a meaning to it. It has a definition to it. It has a purpose to it. And so one day means something, but 2 days means something. And this order has significance. And you know this to be the fact, because what did Yahweh say in Ecclesiastes, the third chapter? Just to show you that these signs are based in Yahweh's methodology. Yeah, he has a methodology. He has a method to how he does things. And Yah's methodology, Yah's way of doing things, Yah's order is unique to only him. You won't find the methods or the ways of Yahweh in any other book. But in the book of Ecclesiastes, the third chapter, verse 1, to everything there is a season. Meaning there is a appointed time to everything, and a time to every purpose under heaven. Yeah, there's a time to every desire of the heart of the Creator. There's a time to every purpose, a season to everything, which means you have to know what Yahweh used for signs. And he used the light. And this light that rules over the day is vitally important, because it's how you are to order your days. You need to know it's a day. That's the first sign is telling you. But what day did Yahweh even birth this light, bring forth this light on the fourth day? And then you'll see that Yahweh has an order for the fourth. And you'll see that Yah has an order for the first, and an order for the second, and an order for the third, and even an order for the fifth, and an order for the sixth, and an order for the seventh. And once you understand that these orders are set, they're immovable, unchangeable, then you'll see how Yahweh places everything. and judgment has an order. 40 years has an order, and its order is judgment. 10 has an order, and its order is holy. As you'll read in Leviticus, the 27th chapter. 10 isn't just a number. 10 is a word, which means it has definition. It has purpose. In this Babylonian system, you've been taught to separate your numbers from words, wherein everything that comes out your mouth in language is a word. And everything that Yahweh spoke were words. He didn't just have a book or a whole section that just dealt with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. He has his word. And his word also has measurements. And in the book of Leviticus, the 27th chapter, we begin reading in the 30th verse. It reads, "And all the tithe," which means tenth, "of the land, whether of seed of the land or of the fruit of the tree, is Yahweh's. It is holy unto Yahweh." The tithe, the tenth, it's holy unto the Creator. Didn't I just say that tens order is holy? "And if a man will all redeem aught out of his tithe, he shall add thereunto the fifth part thereof. And according to the tithe of the herd or of the flock, even of whatsoever passes under the rod, the tenth shall be holy unto Yahweh." The tenth, it is holy unto Yahweh. It belongs to him. If something is holy unto Yah, it belongs to Yah. It's set aside for Yah. It's sacred for Yah. It's sanctified to Yah. So Shem, being the tenth generation after Adam, mean that he was holy to Yahweh. He was set aside for Yahweh. He belonged to Yahweh. But who else or what else has the tenth? What else belongs to Yah? And you want to know what belongs to Yah, because you might be dealing with something holy, but you're treating it profane. So look in the book of Deuteronomy. Yes, there are many people and nations that are taking up things that are holy to Yahweh and treating it profane. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 4th chapter, start reading in verse 11. It says, "And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountains burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And Yahweh spoke unto you out of the midst of the fire. Ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments. And he wrote them upon 2 tables of stone." Yeah, he gave us 10 commandments, his covenant, because it's holy. Even though governments, state governments, will put a replica of the Ten Commandments on their property, they're treating it profane. They don't follow the Ten Commandments. Not near one of those commandments are they following. Yet, they will put it right there. And then some state houses have the audacity to allow idols to sit right before these Ten Commandments because they're treating it profane, though it is holy. Some of our people claim they keep the Ten Commandments, speak the Ten Commandments, but they are holy and they treat them profane. And the truth is, every Israelite has treated the Ten Commandments profane. Yet it is holy. Yah said the tenth belongs to him. It is holy to him. And how do we deal with this word that Yahweh gave us that's holy unto him? Some people believe that it's not even Ten Commandments. It's 316 or 613. But Yahweh, the Elohim of the heaven, earth, and sea, said 10. And it's holy. This is something that belongs to him. But who else or what else is holy unto Yah? Go to the book of Genesis, the 11th chapter. And you'll see who was the ninth generation after Shem. Because Shem was the tenth. But Yahweh started a whole new line of people with Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And Shem has generations. And in Genesis 11, if you read, it says in verse 11 or 10, these are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begot Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. So Arphaxad was the first generation after Shem. But if you go on down and we expedite, it says in verse 26, and Terah lived 70 years and begot Abram, whose name was changed to Abraham. He was the ninth generation after Shem. And Yahweh chose Abraham and gave him his covenant. But look what Yahweh did with Abraham in the book of Genesis, the 17th chapter, the 15th verse. And Elohim said unto Abraham, as for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall her name be. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a queen of nations. Kings of people shall be of her. And then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old? And shall Sarah that is 90 years old bear? And Abraham said unto Elohim, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. And Elohim said, Sarah thy wife shall bear thee a son indeed. And thou shalt call his name Yitzchak. And I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant, and with his seed after him. Why? Because he chose Isaac. He selected Isaac. He sanctified Isaac to receive the covenant that Yahweh will establish with his people. And Isaac was the 10th generation after Shem. And that's who Yah gave his covenant to, because he's holy to Yah. That's why he gave Abraham Isaac this way, a way that is unheard of. He gave a 100-year-old man a child from a 90-year-old woman. This is something you never heard of before. And why? Because they were holy to the Creator. That's what the tenth is. It's holy unto Yahweh. But there's someone else that you need to know that was selected that happened to be the tenth of Yahweh. And if you'll find out about this person, when we start reading in the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter. And why are we dealing with 10 and 40? Because Yahweh said, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And as I said, the days, they behold the signs of the Most High. And every day has an order. And these signs represent Yahweh's order. And Yahweh will do things in his order that you can only learn about by knowing his order. But by knowing the first thing that Moreh Ishaya taught about this week, which is wisdom. That's why I said, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. And see, I'm showing you the wisdom of these orders. What does wisdom teach us about the 10th generation? What does wisdom teach us about the 40 years for judgment? What does Yahweh teach us about these signs so we may see this wisdom? And if you see the wisdom, then you have to get understanding. And now it's time to make a decision. Either follow after righteousness or follow after evil. But in the book of Ruth, the fourth chapter, verse 18 reads, now these are the generations of Perez. Perez begot Hezron. Now Hezron would be the first generation after Perez. And Hezron begot Ram. And Ram begot Aminadab, which will be the third. And Aminadab begot Nashon, which will be the fourth. And Nashon begot Salmon, which will be the fifth. And Salmon begot Boaz, which will be the sixth. And Boaz begot Obed, which will be the seventh. And Obed begot Jesse, which will be the eighth. And Jesse begot David, which would be the ninth generation after Perez. And Perez is the son of Yehuda. So the ninth generation after Perez is David. And we know Yahweh chose David to represent his name. But who did Yahweh choose after David? If you go to the book of 1 Chronicles, the third chapter, in Chronicles, the third chapter, verse 1 reads, now these were the sons of David, which were born unto him in Hebron. The firstborn, Amnon, of Ahinoam, the Jezreelitess. The second, Daniel, of Abigail, the Carmelitess. So this lets you know, some people may say, well, what about Michal? That was his first wife. Michal didn't have any children. David said, you're not going to have no children by me because she defied Yahweh. So She didn't even count. But Amnon was the firstborn, and Daniel of Abigail, the Carmelites, was the second. The third, Absalom, the son of Maacah, the daughter of Talmai, king of Geshur. The fourth, Adoniah, the son of Haggith. And this is his fourth wife so far. The fifth, Shephatiah of Abital. So this is a fifth son from another wife. The sixth, Ithream by Eglah, his wife. And these six were born unto him in Hebron. And there he reigned 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem, he reigned 33 years. And these were born. And so how many years did David reign incomplete? 40 years. Why? Because he was the judge of Israel. And he judged them 40 years. Nevertheless, verse 5. And these were born unto him in Jerusalem, Shemaiah, and Shobab, and Nathan, and Solomon. So let's count that. He already had six. But here we have Shemaiah, 7, Shobab, 8, Nathan, 9, and Solomon, 10. Four of Bathsheba, the daughter of Amiel. So you here have Solomon, the 10th born son of King David. What did Yahweh even say about Solomon? In 2 Samuel, the 7th chapter. And in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 12, it reads, And when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son. If he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart away from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away from before thee. And thine house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. And so he chose David's son to be a father to him, and that he would be his son. And if you also look in the 12th chapter of 2 Samuel, verse 24. And David confronted Bathsheba, his wife, comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name Solomon. And Yahweh loved him. And he sent by the hand of Nathan the prophet, and said, and called him, and he called his name Yedidiah, because of Yahweh. So Yahweh even gave him a whole different name, because he belonged to him, because he was holy unto him, because he was his. And this was the 10th born. And not only was he the 10th son of David, he received the kingdom after David, which made him 10th generation. And you see what he did with Solomon. Yet and still, this all has significance unto knowing that Yahweh is returning to his people soon. If you understand now, the 10th generation, the 10th, the tithe, belongs to Yahweh. It's holy unto Yahweh. And 40 years is the time measured for a generation to be judged. Now, we would want to understand how this gives us the signs that Yah is returning to his people. Well, look in the book of Genesis, the 15th chapter. In Genesis, the 15th chapter, verse 13 reads, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation who they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance." So what's this 400 years? Why 400 years? When 400 years? And what does it mean? We've been telling you all year that this year that we are in right now, this year that we're walking through right now, living our lives daily, this is the 400th year of our captivity, meaning at the conclusion of this year, our captivity sentence would be over. But Yahweh has given us wisdom to be able to show you that this 400 bears significance, bears meaning. That it's just not a number that Yahweh pulled out his hat. That it's just not something you throw around. The Creator put the children of Israel, namely Yehuda, in captivity for 400 years. And why? Why did he do this? Well, go to the book of Jeremiah, the 16th chapter. And in Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 10 reads, we'll start reading in verse 9. "For thus saith Yahweh of hosts, the Elohim of Israel, behold, I will cause to cease out of this place, in your eyes and in your days, the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride. And it shall come to pass, when thou shalt show this people all these words, and they shall say unto thee, Wherefore hath Yahweh pronounced all this great evil against us?" What do you mean, pronounced? He gave us a judgment. All this great evil against us. Or what is our iniquity? Or what is our sin that we have committed against Yahweh our Elohim? What is the thing, or what is the reason we are being judged? "Then thou shalt say unto them, Because your fathers have forsaken me, saith Yahweh, and have walked after other deities, and have served them, and have worshipped them, and have forsaken me, and have not kept my law. And you have done worse than your fathers. For behold, You walk everyone after the imagination of his evil heart, that ye may not hearken unto me. Therefore, here's your judgment. He's speaking to Yehuda. Therefore, because you were so evil, were so wicked, therefore, your judgment will be, I will cast you out of this land into a land that ye know not, neither did your fathers. And there you shall serve other gods, day and night, where I will not show you favor. This is America. This is Babylon. This is this long captivity where we were shown no favor. How long? 400 years. Have we had favor any one of these years? The same month your President Obama was inaugurated, they shot a man 9 times in the back. The same reign of his presidency, your black president was probably the worst rash of police killings on young black men in the entire country. And he, your black president, could do nothing about it. He helped out the LGBTQ X and YZ folks the whole time he was president. But while he was helping out the perverse, your people was being slaughtered. You haven't had 1 year of favor these 400 years. Therefore, verse 14, behold, the day come, and because you were in this captivity this long, here come these days, saith Yahweh, that it shall no more be said, because when I deliver you from this captivity, it will no longer be said, Yah liveth that brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt. But Yahweh lives that brought up the children of Israel from the land of the north and from all the lands whither he had driven them. And I will bring them again into their land that I gave unto their fathers. This is part of this judgment. This is how we know Yahweh's talking about this time. Because we get delivered from this time, we're going to even change the way we speak about Yah. We're not even going to know Yah as the Elohim that brought us out of Egypt, but as the Elohim that has brought us out of North America, out of the North Country, and all the other lands wherein we have been scattered. But how do you know that this is your time? Has Yahweh even done a thing like this before? And what does that mean? See, 400 years is judgment. But what kind of judgment? It's judgment upon 10 generations. And how do I know that? Because 400 is 40. 10 times. And 10th belongs to Yah. And 40 years is judgment upon a generation. So that means the first 40 years of this captivity was judgment. The second 40 years of this captivity was judgment. The third, the fourth, the fifth, the 6th, the 7th, the 8th, the 9th, and the 10th, which we are in right now, is judgment upon 10 generations. But the 10th generation belongs to Yahweh. So what is he going to do with the 10th generation? He's going to deliver them. He's going to save them. He is going to come get us because we are his servants. And this is what you will see happening in this time. As I mentioned, the 10th belongs to Yah. Well, look at it's in the book of Psalms. Get the right Psalms here. Psalms 24. In Psalms 24, we'll begin reading at the second verse. We'll read third verse. Who shall ascend into the hill of Yahweh? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from Yahweh, and righteousness from the Elohim of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek him, that seek thy face, O Yaakov, Selah. What generation? The generation that seeks him. And who is this generation? The one that's going to have clean hands. The one that's going to stand in his holy place. What is the generation that seeks Yahweh? Well, it has been in this generation, the 10th generation, in which the children of Israel have learned how to seek Yahweh. This hasn't happened at any other time of this captivity. Our people have been seeking everything else except the mighty Yah. But in this generation, in the 10th set of 40 years, Israel has been seeking Yahweh. And I know it because it has been the exact product of the restoration of the sacred laws of the Most High Conference that has brought about the revelations on how to seek Yahweh. It was Moray Elisha years ago, 15 years ago, that brought the children of Israel to the capital of this land that has enslaved us. To do what? To call on Yahweh, to seek the Most High. And were we not by a river right by the Jefferson Memorial? We sought Yahweh. We called on Yahweh. We cried out to Yahweh. It was our very elder Moray, the spiritual teacher and leader of the House of Israel of Cincinnati right here, that proclaimed a fast by the rivers of Babylon in Jamestown, Virginia, to seek Yahweh 3 years ago. And it has been this same teacher that has called out to the whole nation to let us know we must fast to Yahweh 40 days and 40 nights. In this generation, you're learning how to seek Yahweh. But don't you know that it is prophecy that you would do this in the latter days, in the time of trouble? Look at the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter. See, now the purpose for your 10th generation, the purpose for your 400 years becomes magnified, becomes illuminated even more. In the book of Deuteronomy, the fourth chapter, verse 26 reads, "And I call heaven and earth to witness unto you this day. You shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto you go to over the Jordan to possess it. You shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And Yahweh shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whither Yahweh shall lead you. And there you shall serve Elohim, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, which neither see nor hear nor eat nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek Yahweh your Elohim, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. But when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if you turn unto Yahweh your Elohim, you shall be obedient unto his voice, and he's going to deliver you. He's not going to forsake you. This was prophesied that we would do this." This is something that Yahweh already knew we would do. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, the first verse reads, "And it shall come to pass, when all these things have come upon you, the blessing and the curse, which I have set before you, and thou shalt call them into mind among the nations, whither Yahweh Elohim have driven you, and thou return unto Yahweh your Elohim, and shall obey his voice, according to all that I command you this day, thou and thy children with all thy heart and with all thy soul, that then Yahweh your Elohim will turn your captivity and have compassion on you, and will return and gather you from all the nations where Yahweh your Elohim has scattered you." See, this is what you'll do at this time. This is what we are doing at this time. But who's doing it? Who's doing this? Not everyone is doing this, obviously. In the book of Isaiah, the 10th chapter will show you exactly who is doing this. In verse 20, "And it shall come to pass in that day that the remnant of Israel and such that are escaped of the house of Yaakov shall no more stay upon him that smote him." Meaning, you're not going to go down to the courthouse and seek the Supreme Court's judgment. You're not going to go to the police station and seek the chief police judgment. You're not going to go to the mayor and seek their judgment. But you're going to go and stay upon him that actually smote you, that actually put you in this place, not upon them just beating you over the head with their police sticks and shooting you with their guns. You're not going to depend on your oppressors anymore. You're going to stay upon them, but you'll stay upon Yahweh, the Holy One of Israel, in truth. The remnant shall return, even the remnant of Yaakov, unto the mighty Elohim. Not everyone is going to seek Yahweh in this time. But those that are, you're prophesied to do it. You're seeking Yahweh, and you're doing it in the 10th generation of this 400-year captivity. Has Yahweh ever put the 10th on any other judgment of captivity? Just to give you a little bit of assurance, a precedence that this is something that Yahweh does? Well, yeah, he has. Look in the book of Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. See, once you have all this information, you can now show somebody without a shadow of a doubt. Look, this is how Yahweh works. I know that's not how it works in your history books and in your math book, but this is how Yahweh works. And since this is how Yahweh works, every word of Elohim is pure. He's a shield unto them that put their trust in him. Add thou not unto his words, lest you be reproved and found a liar. And in Jeremiah 25, you'll start reading in and around verse 8. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith Yahweh, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and perpetual desolations. Moreover, will I take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, and the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, and the sound of the millstones, and the light of the candle. And this whole land shall be desolation and an astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it shall come to pass, when the 70 years are accomplished, that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, save Yahweh, for their iniquity and the land of the Chaldeans, and will make it a perpetual desolation. Even in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, we had to go into captivity for 70 years. But why 70 years? You'll find that in 2 Chronicles. And Yahweh will tell you why he chose 70 years. In 2 Chronicles 36, verse 17. Therefore, he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees, who slew their young men with the sword in the house of their sanctuary, and had no compassion upon young man or maiden, old man or him that stooped for old age. He gave them all into his hand, and all the vessels of the house of Elohim, great and small, and the treasures of the house of Yahweh, and the treasures of the king, and of his princes, all these he brought to Babylon, and burnt the house of Elohim, and break down the wall of Jerusalem, and burnt all the palaces thereof with fire, and destroyed all the goodly vessels thereof. And them that had escaped from the sword carried he away to Babylon, where they were servants to him and his sons until the reign of the kingdom of Persia, to fulfill the word of Yahweh by the mouth of Jeremiah, until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70 years. And why? Because 70 is 10 Sabbaths of years. Because Yahweh wanted the land to keep Sabbath unto him and be holy unto him. And how else to do that but to sanctify it under the order of the 10th, which is holy. unto Yah in the Sabbath 70 years. And now that we have this judgment upon the generations of Israel, even 10 generations, that 40 times 10 are your 400 years. And this is the generation of them that seeks Yahweh. And just to solidify and show you that what Yahweh has revealed unto us is not foreign how Yahweh comes to his servants. But look in the book of Daniel. The 9th chapter. And in Daniel, the 9th chapter, the first verse, it reads, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldeans, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to Jeremiah the prophet. He would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. Daniel saw that 70 years was determined upon Jerusalem by reading the book of Jeremiah. Well, this is how Daniel was able to understand the sentence of his people. And this is how we have been able to understand the sentence of our people. Just like it says. It said, I, Ishiah, and More Naphtali, we understood by books the number of years whereof the word of Yahweh came to all these prophets, especially Abraham, that it would be 400 years. The same way. And what did Daniel do when he discovered this? In verse 3. And I set my face unto Yahweh Elohim to seek by prayer and supplications with fasting and sackcloth and ashes, not by protesting and picketing and marching and hollering and forming organizations to get me locked up, but I did it by fasting and praying and laying in sackcloth and earth upon my head. That's how I dealt with this urgent situation. That's how I sought deliverance from this urgent situation. When I discovered that Yahweh was coming, I went and started praying. That's what Daniel let you know. And if that was good enough for Daniel, then that is good enough for us. For why else do you think we are praying and seeking Yahweh in this time, fasting 40 days and 40 nights? And why 40? Because that's judgment upon this generation. And it's happening in this 10th generation, in the latter days of your captivity. And this is how Yahweh is coming to his people.
And this is how you know that Yahweh will return soon. For when the children of Israel start calling on the Creator, Yahweh listens. Last scripture, 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. Reads, this is what Yahweh said. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. And this is exactly what we are looking for. And this is how you know Yahweh is coming soon. For not at any other time has Yah's people sought him in the fashion that we are seeking him today throughout the whole time of this captivity. And not only that, we're doing it at the right time. We're doing it in the 10th generation, the latter days of the 10th generation of the 400 years of this captivity. We're doing it in the time of trouble, and we're doing it before Yahweh returns. So you want to know what's going on with Israel and Yahweh in the world? Just look to the servant of the Most High. And check your watch, because it's about that time. And until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you very much, and so do we. Shalom, hallelujah.
All the blessings that Elohim gave to me.